platform.
BATF IRS CIAMDEF BI FDA and FCC ADL and KGB. Now I know my ABCs, all of which spell tyranny.
All right, welcome everybody, Pastor Eli James, and a Bavarian man says that the sound from Speak Free Radio is coming across on your folk radio, so thank you very much. And this is, I guess, I haven't been paying attention because I've been so distracted by other things. We had a great meeting in Springfield yesterday. Several new people. Oh, okay, Nimble Horse says not on EFR. So I guess you're going to have to switch to the Speak Free Radio speed to hear us. And it's supposed to be simulcasting here on Eurofolk Radio. And I complained to Paul about it a couple of times. And, you know, if it doesn't, and if it's too much of a bother to go to Speak Free Radio, just let me know. And we'll just switch back to the straight EFR feed. But for today, I put the link in the chat room of, we were talking about Schopenhauer. Schopenhauer was actually a very Jew-savvy German philosopher. And the Jews hated him because he exposed them for the manipulators and money changers that they are. And and he made a lot of great statements about the reality of human psychology, which you won't get from Sigmund Freud, that's for sure. Sigmund Freud. Okay, so the article is why is Yahweh, the name of God, replaced by a title or the title, the Lord, etc. Okay, that's the so you can click on that link to follow along. All right. So, yeah. So everybody would just have to go to Speak Free Radio and listen to us there. Okay. So let's do it, Michael. So let me open the article and go there. Let's see which browser, because I had. All right. Okay. Paul gives thumbs up. Okay. So let's see here.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah. Go ahead and start. Okay.
Yeah. So, why is Yahweh, the name of God, replaced by title, the Lord? Why is the article the used? The first of thousands of references, Genesis 2, verses 4.
Okay, so before you actually start reading this, because I read through this a couple days ago, and this question is by a novice who simply is not familiar with the ongoing, and this has been ongoing for like 2,000 years, why the name of Yahweh has been removed from the King James Bible and other versions. And so he's simply confused by this, and so he's asking a bunch of questions in the first part of this article. And, you know, some of them are just kind of naive because he's just totally confused. So go ahead.
Yes. I looked through much of the similar questions section, but my search goes deeper. I believe it goes to the idea of one's name and what it represents. And when we see that most translation of the OT, Old Testament, uses a tetragrammaton, Yahweh, to say the Lord, I have never seen anyone called John, the Lisa, the Steve, unless, as I have seen spoken of, that you want to differentiate the persons from another of the same name. And this one, the Steve, is the best, most important, most prolific one. Here, using the article the makes sense. You could say that this Lord is the highest.
I'm Lord. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. Best Lord. And so are differentiating this Lord over other, obviously making perfect sense. But this doesn't go very far as to it being the actual name of the person, just that he is Lord, especially the Lord. And then to add, I have never seen anyone called Lord as a name.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good point, because why is the name of Yahweh, which is supposed to be a proper name, and never has the article the in front of it, because it comes from the Hebrew expression, I am that I am, which means I am anything I want to be. I can be anything I want to be. I am all things for all time, right? Because I am the creator. I can do anything. And so, but his expression here that why don't you use, at least in English, expressions like the John, the Lisa, the Steve, because we're talking about people and they're not normally spoken of with the definite article or even the indefinite article, but very rarely, let's say we're talking about a John or a Lisa or a Steve, right? But normally, because in German, it is common to use the word the in front of a name, but only when you're speaking in the third person, like der Johann, der Klaus, that sort of thing. But when you're talking directly to a person in German, you say Johann and you say Klaus. You don't say der. You only use the word der or the in the third person. All right, back to you.
It is a bit the same in Swedish too, that you have, you don't have, in okay. Swedish, they don't use Lord. They use Herren. I think that is pretty close to what German also call it, but they don't have any the in mm-hmm. front of it. So it's basically the name.
Yeah, Herr. Yeah. Der Herr, meaning, it's more of a personal expression. Herr means sir. Okay. So, and, I don't know if it's the article the is used in front. It's been a while since I've looked at a German Bible, but it's actually a more of a personal expression. Herr, you know, as you say, dear God, you know, der Herr. It's more like dear God in German. Okay, back to you.
In my upbringing, and I dare say most, when the word Lord is used, it doesn't give the person that. It's being spoken about a personality, yet the God that we are speaking about is lauded with personality. Yeah. And when the article, yes. the, is placed in front of the word Lord, the personality of the one being spoken about is lost, yeah. at least in my sense of how I read yeah. it.
I agree, because the Lord is not the actual name of Yahweh. Yahweh is his name. And so when you address him by his real name, I think he's more likely to listen because, well, what's your version of the Lord? What Lord do you obey? Baal? Right? The lords of the British Parliament or Swedish lords and ladies? Okay. Yeah. It's very important to know his personal name. And I think that's the point this guy's trying to make. Yeah, please continue.
Yeah, otherwise you would say, what do you say? In Swedish you say, do, something like that. So it's very unpersonality if you don't know their name. And the same in right. American too. If you don't know the name, it gets very unpersonal yeah. also.
Or like, hey you. Right? Hey you.
Exactly.
You. You talking to me? Okay. It sounds like a bad movie.
Yeah, it does. Right.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder if this is how many people see this, the Lord, as part of my yearning.
Mm-hmm. Could very well be. Yeah, and well, they certainly don't have a personal relationship with Yahweh, and even the word Jesus in English, is since the letter J wasn't introduced into the English language until the mid-1600s, you don't get the meaning, which is Yahweh saves, that you get from Yeshua, okay? So there's all kinds of problems with terminology from the modern Christian point of view, all kinds of problems. All right, back to you.
Thank you. Found here. Now, by way of clarifying why I ask this question, which in my mind is so different from the ones here found at hermeneutics, exchange, and so many other places. I look at one of the most prolific verses from the Bible of John 3 verse 16 and see that whoever believes in him, well, we all know there were plenty of demons that knew who Jesus was, and I dare say who the Father was. But they, as far as I know, won't be saved. I get the sense that knowing who the Father Yahweh is of much more importance than checking off a box that says, I believe, as so many of the sinner's prayer professes.
Okay, Seven has put in the chat room, the Donald, which is kind of an impersonal way of talking about Donald Trump, as if they don't want to recognize him as Donald, okay? So, the Donald. In a way, this is what the guy is talking about. It's very impersonal, isn't it?
Yes, okay. It is.
And yeah, okay. Please continue.
As I see it, knowing and putting one's complete faith into the Creator, Yahweh is of extreme importance on the journey. Adding the faith of Abraham and his story into the mix. And so my search of the importance of Yahweh in the Word goes on.
Yeah, you're not going to find many answers in the mainstream churches, right? All right, please continue.
No answers you will get.
Yeah, no.
I can see that once someone spread so much time communing with God and His Word, that one might bestow in the form of reverence the title of the Lord, and especially my Lord. But okay, I don't think
personal. Yes.
That if you are on the outside looking in and haven't been on the journey of getting to know Him, how the word the Lord are very helpful.
No, who is that guy? Well, does he have a name or doesn't he? Right? Certainly the Lord cannot possibly be his name.
No.
This guy has a very good point. Okay.
Yeah, and as you say, who is the Lord then? Who is the one? Because they don't specify it. It can be as you say, Baal, Satan.
Right? Yeah. And that's actually a very good point, because a Satanist can pretend to be a Christian and use the expression the Lord, but what Lord is he talking about? Right?
Exactly.
So go ahead.
Yeah, he can mix, as I say, they can mix it in. So you don't know, Christians can then they get lied to because they don't think, oh, he says the Lord, they gotta be a good person, right? Something like this, but that's not really true.
Right. Or my Lord is the dollar sign.
Yeah, and that's right? The Jewish way to see it.
That's right. Okay. So this guy is raising some very interesting points for a novice, and he's looking for answers, and he's not going to get very many. However, there's going to be some very interesting comments by theologians after he gets done asking these questions. All right, back to you.
Thank you. So I can see the use of the title of Lord by oneself, that it becomes the moment that you completely deny oneself and lay down your life to pick up your cross and the implement of your death and follow Jesus. Luke 9 verse 23, ESV, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
I have been on this journey.
Yeah.
I have been on this journey a large part of my 56 years, and I dare say that now seeing the almost 7,000 instances of Yahweh being turned into the Lord has caused much thought. But God knows, and I thank him even now. I welcome to hear what might come of this question in this forum. I guess the spelling they had. They had this J-H-W-E-H. That's, I guess is that more Jehovah.
Yeah, that's for Jehovah. But it's still, even though it was a J, it was pronounced like a Y throughout history, right? Until the word Jehovah came into being, okay? So it was Yehovah. Yahweh versus Yehovah, okay? And the Jews added that extra syllable at some point in the Middle Ages. Okay, so I'm looking at this. Okay, so let me pick up the first comment here. And it says, welcome to BHSX, which is the hermeneutics channel here that we're reading from. Many thanks for your question. Please do not forget to take the tour, link below, to better understand how this site works. All questions here need a specific Bible passage to analyze. Well, he mentioned one, to take up your cross passage. Please couch this question in those terms to prevent it being closed. Okay, so you gotta, all right, so you have to, how about Exodus 3, 14 and 15, right? My name is Yahweh. That is who I am. That's the word, the name I want you to address me by, Mr. Moses, the Moses, okay? I think this question is okay as is. There are 1,000 verses that could be quoted, but it's really about the general principles of translation. Curious Danny answered there. I have never seen anyone called the John, the Lisa, the Steve, probably because you don't speak German. Your question is primarily linguistic and basically amounts to asking why ancient Hebrew cannot be translated word for word into proper English. Lucian says that. Well, no, that's incorrect because that's only true in the third person, as I said earlier. And I think you'd have the same in Swedish, did you say?
Yeah, it's the same.
Okay, but not in the first person. So if you're addressing your mother, you're going to say, the mom, hello, the dad, okay?
No, you don't.
Call her mom. Yeah,
yeah, you do.
You call her by her name, right? Okay.
Yes, right. Of course.
Yes, okay. So why indeed, a great question. This is another comment upvoted to plus one. To say that the inspired NT writers, as per Dotard, who was the first commentator here, utilized definitive titles in their writings is not known with any undeniable certainty. The use is more to do with uninspired NT copyists with a possible Trinitarian bias. If Jesus is supposed to be Yahweh in the flesh, as opposed to his own all too distinctive personality, then what better way to express the same than to call him the Lord, both Lord with caps, capital L, and Lord with lowercase L. For further relevance, see my comments here. Okay, so he's got a whole hermeneutic stack exchange commentary, but I won't go into that. So I don't think that this commentator really addresses the question of why Yahweh is not pronounced at all. Okay, I think that's the basis of the initial question. So he says, at Michael 16, Adonai means my Lord, with the intensive plural my lords. Adon means Lord, and the ending is a pronominal suffix. Many translators followed the Masoretic vocalization convention, translating Yahweh to Lord. Elohim means God, also with the intensive plural, i.e. gods. Okay? So, although the vast majority of the time, Elohim is plural, they nevertheless translated as a singular God. So here's another term that in Hebrew has been messed up. Okay. So I think Michael, this guy here is Robert. I think he makes a good point that, the Masoretic text is not the true source that we should be translating from, because that's been corrupted by the Masoretic rabbis. Okay. And it's the Masoretic rabbis who have deliberately suppressed the name of Yahweh. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that we can say that much. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure. Many translators follow the Masoretic vocalization convention, translating Yahweh to Lord. And then Elohim means God, also with the intensive plural. Okay. So it was the Jewish Masoretes who first started replacing Yahweh with Lord. Okay. That's very good. I'm surprised there's somebody out there besides us in Christian Identity who actually knows that, right? Okay. So go ahead and take the next section. Seven answers. Let's see what these answers are like.
Yeah. The reason why the publisher of the divine name, King James Bible, restored the divine name seems to me a good answer to this question. Here is their posting that was posted on September 2nd, 2015, on the Cleveland Daily Banner. A new King James Bible has broken a centuries-old tradition and is following in the footsteps of
Did we lose you? Let me go back to
I'm still here. Do you hear me?
Yeah, you dropped out for a second. Yeah, I guess please start over.
Okay. A new King James Bible has broken a centuries-old tradition and is following in the footsteps of several Bible translations that restored the divine name to its original place in the Old Testament.
They do? Okay. I didn't realize that. The New King James, he said?
Yeah.
Okay. Or is it the Divine Name King James Bible that you were just talking about?
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. Oh, it's mentioned in the heading here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the Divine Name King James Bible is raising eyebrows in the world of Bible translators for replacing the capitalized God and Lord with the English translation.
Oh, okay. So they use Jehovah instead of Yahweh. Okay.
Yeah. In 6,972 places. In Hebrew, the four letters representing the divine name, also called the Tetragrammaton, is Yahweh. To this day, no one is certain of its exact pronunciation. Translators of the Divine Name King James Version are following the pattern of other Bible translations, including Young's Literal Translation, Darby Translation, the New Word Translation, the American Standard Version, and the Bible in Living English, in restoring the Divine Name, where it was originally written.
But are they using Yahweh or Jehovah?
Yeah, that's the question.
The divine name. Yeah, okay, please continue.
The translator of divine name. Publishers of this latest King James Version wrote, "We specifically left the authorized version as it is, except to restore the divine name. We hope then to make people pause and ask themselves if they want any modern English Bible that does not display God's divine name as it is found in the original writings, no matter how well translated it is."
Mm-hmm.
The group also stated it is not affiliated with or sponsored by any religious organization, and the new edition was not produced by the direction, assistance of approval, and any religious organization of religious community. Explaining this reason for restoring the divine name where it originally appeared, the publisher stated online. Does it not seem clear then ever why Jesus introduced us at Matthew 6:9 to pray, hallowed be thy name, not hidden be thy name?
Very good.
That's a good point.
That's excellent. That's very good.
Okay. That's what we are saying.
Yeah.
Jesus faithfully showed why the name of Jehovah must be known to us. For only by the way should we know who Jesus is and how actually Jesus set the pattern for pure worship.
Okay, as I said earlier, unless you know in Greek and Hebrew, and the original Greek translations, even especially the Septuagint, included the name of Yahweh in Paleo-Hebrew, written right to left within the Greek document. Okay, so it's very clear that the original Judahites, not Jews, wanted the name to be retained. Okay, and in the earliest translations, even post-Septuagint, the name of Yahweh was retained, but then it just gradually was deleted, and I believe the reason why is because nobody knew Hebrew anymore, so they just translated it to the Greek divinity, is essentially what the Greek word there means, divinity, but it's certainly not the name, okay? So, I just looked this up, and this is telling us the origin of the word Jehovah. The Masoretes, and this is the first thing that came up, the Masoretes, a group of people that is Jewish rabbis, who worked on the Hebrew Bible from the 6th century to the 10th century, Common Era, so this is a very modernistic description, but it looks accurate, added vowel points from the Hebrew words Adonai, or Elohim, to the Tetragrammaton. Now, Adonai has more syllables than Yahweh, so they had to, an A, an O, and an I, or another A. So that's three vowels which did not exist in the original, okay, which was written Yahweh in the Masoretic text. And it's still written that way in the original text, but the Jews have influenced the translation. This convention was intended to remind readers to pronounce Adonai instead of the Tetragrammaton. Around the 12th century, the resulting form was transliterated as Yahuwah, and the derived forms Yehuwah, as spelled I-E instead of with a Y, and Jehovah first appeared in the 16th century. Back to you. So we have the Masoretes to blame for this concoction called Jehovah. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, then we know Jehovah's Witnesses is also a creation by them. That's also a direct link to them.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
This is directly tied to our having eternal life. For Jesus himself said in prayers to, I say, Yahweh, and this is a life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is John 17, verse 3. While some scholars prefer the transliterated pronunciation, Yahweh, others say the name Jehovah has already been established over centuries and preserves the four consonants of the original divine name in English. J-H-V-H. Publisher of this latest effort to restore the divine name said, the base text of the authorized King James is in the public domain, but the exclusive features of restoring the name Jehovah or Yahweh to the otherwise unmodified content of the best base text constitute an important new literary expression.
Okay. And what is that importance?
Yeah, one example given of this new literary expression is in Isaiah 42 verses 8, where the divine name KJV reads, "I am Jehovah, that is my name." Numerous translation continue to insert Lord or Lord, where the divine name already appeared, a practice that is being changed by adherence to more. By adherence to more literal translations.
Now, that's good that these new translations are challenging the Masoretic concoctions of excluding the divine name Yahweh altogether or inserting vowels that never existed in the name. So it's good that they're challenging the Masoretes. That's great. Back to you.
Yes, there is also the 21st century King James Version, KJ21, completed in 1994, which updates obsolete words from the 1611 edition by using Webster's New International Dictionary, second edition. Spelling, punctuation, and capitalization were also updated, while the more popular authorized King James Version uses the divine name Jehovah in Exodus 6 verses 3, Psalms 83 verses 18, Isaiah 12 verses 12 too, and Isaiah 26 verses 4. The New King James Version replaced the name with Lord or Yah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. In those verses and Psalms 68 verses 4. Okay. The 21st century King James Version, however, restores the divine name in the four places where the authorized King James Version used it for centuries. The divine name King James Version, however, restores the name Yahweh in merely 7,000 places where YHWH or JHVH Latin ordinarily was. Personally, I'm in favor of the most literal translation of the Holy Bible in its entirety, regardless of who translated it. I understand the need for modern translations in view of the way meaning of word change. Still, any translation that is going to be close to what was originally written and what was originally meant is bound to bring its readers closer to God. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, yes. Okay.
Besides, at Deuteronomy 4 verses 2, the verses that tells humans not to add or take away from God's word, many translators remove the divine name.
Oh, very good point. Very good point. Okay.
Do you find that offensive? Should you?
Yes.
Yeah, we should. I wonder how does that make God feel? I simply want the truth as God intended us to have it. Don't you? Yes, of course. You don't have to be a scholar to know that removing someone's personal name and replacing it with a title is not accurate translation.
There you go.
So true. One might call it an audacious, even presumptuous, presumptuous move by translators.
By the Jews. Yes. Okay.
Some people are adamant about sticking with the Bible they were raised on. Others see the benefit in modern translation. To each his own. I was raised on the King James Bible. I will always love it, but I also love modern translation, which give me the benefits of more advanced research into the original Hebrew and Greek language. My goal, like yours, is to understand the Word of God, not change it.
Yes. There you go.
Which ever translation you personally prefer? Most people would agree there should always be room for the author's a personal name in his own book.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's another good point.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is extant in Exodus 3:14 and 15 in virtually every Bible. So why has it been changed in other verses? You know, that makes no sense. But that's the way the translators handle this. But very good points by whoever wrote this question. Okay. So let me take the next section here.
Yeah, I can do the last little.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can read it. Sorry.
Yeah. The following. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say now. Anyway, but several really good points made by the person who added this comment. The following is copied and pasted from Research Support the Truth. Here are some of there's links in this article. The blue highlighted areas are links you can click on to follow through. Here are some of the reasons why the divine name is missing in most Bible translations. And it's got a title. It's called Why is God's Name Missing from Many Bibles? The reason God's name is missing from many Bibles. So point one, the distinctive Hebrew name for God, usually transliterated as Jehovah, is in this translation represented by Lord, all caps, L-O-R-D. Today's English version, preface. Okay, so it's going to be quoted from several different Bibles, it looks like. There are many different reasons why God's name was removed from the Bible. I will attempt to briefly discuss them here. First off, it was a mistake to remove God's name from the Bible. Hooray! Why? As author of the Bible, only God himself has the right to change or alter the Bible. God himself gave mankind a warning in his own word, the Bible, to not add to nor take away from his words, or translated falsely. Quote, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life, unquote. Revelation 22:18-19, NIV Bible Gateway. But I think, Michael, this only applies to the book of Revelation. Yeah, okay.
But it's harsh. I mean, look at his judgment on you if you touch the book. It's very hard when you say this one. He take away and he will, so it's very hard stuff he comes up to here.
It's a harsh punishment, yeah. But I think it's referring to false priests who change the meaning of the words by changing the words.
Okay? Yeah, and that's also the modern pastors that does that.
That's right.
So they will not inherit the kingdom.
But we still have Deuteronomy 4:2 regarding the whole Bible. No one should ever change the words of Moses as he has written them down. Okay? No one should ever do that. And so, but it's the Jews who have done that. So, question. First off, it was a mistake to remove God's name from the Bible. Why? As author of the Bible, only God himself has the right to change or alter the Bible. God himself gave mankind a warning in his own word, the Bible, to not add nor take away from his words. Quote, I just read that. Sorry. Next section, a mistake. Quote, the suppression of the name, which they're going to choose to use Jehovah, has entailed upon the reader and especially upon the hearer irreparable loss. Its suppression was a mistake. This is Joseph Rotherham, 1 chapter 4, 22-29, but it's not giving us the title of the book. It's a book by Rotherham. Next quote, the most common error made by most translators in the last 3,500 years is their elimination of heaven's revealed name of the Most High, Yahweh, in parentheses, Jehovah, A.B. Krena, in the preface of the Holy Name Bible. Okay, Now we're getting the people who promote the sacred names. Quote, the substitution of the word Lord is most unhappy, for in no way, it in no way represents the meaning of the sacred name. I'm just going to use Yahweh. Unquote. The 1872 edition of Smith's Bible Dictionary. The basic reasons that translators removed God's name from the Bible, and here's a list. One, anti-Semitic feelings. Interesting. Okay. But it was the Jews themselves who insisted on removing his name, right? But I guess most people don't realize that. Number one, anti-Semitic feelings. The Jewish God of the Jewish Messiah. He wasn't a Jewish God and he wasn't a Jewish Messiah. He was an Israelite God, or you can't even say Israelite God. He was the creator, and his Messiah was an Israelite, not a Jew. But most people perceived the Old Testament as being written by Jews, and this is just another false idea. So in other words, these Jewish concepts were hated and despised by the Greeks and Romans. Fair enough. When Christianity became a state religion of Rome, did it ever become the state religion of Rome, Michael? Didn't Constantine blend paganism and Christianity together? it can't really be called true Christianity, can it? So I guess Michael's muted. Let's see. Let me just check the system. It seems to be we seem to be broadcasting, but it seems to have lost Michael momentarily. Okay. So yeah. I asked a question in the chat room. Is Jesus gambling in that photo? Okay, so getting back to the text here. Okay, so, okay, it says here, device is not connected. Okay, if you're hearing me, Michael, it says your device is not connected. That you must have clicked the switch or something to have left the stream. Let me hold on, folks. Let me give him a quick message on Skype to let him know your device is not connected. Okay. Hopefully he gets this soon. Okay. But I'll just continue. So this is Jehovah is a Masoretic convention. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go into chat room and pick up. Here we go. All right. So that's the chat room. And I seem to have lost. Oh, no. Here we go. I found it. I've had to dump Internet Explorer, which I usually use for most of my shows, because it has really been acting up badly. So, okay. Michael says he's on his way back. Very good. So I'll just continue. So the false perception that the Bible is a Jewish book has created an anti-Yahweh, anti-Yahshua sentiment. And that I can perfectly understand. All attempts to blot out the Hebrew origins of Jesus were employed, and removing God's name from the Bible was a major attempt to obscure Jesus, as the author says, Jewish heritage. But I think they were right, because Jesus was not a Jew. He was a Judahite. For those listening for the first time, there's a huge difference between a Judahite and a Jew. A Judahite is a direct descendant of the patriarch Judah, whereas a Jew comes from the Greek Judeos, meaning a citizen or resident, basically a resident of Judea. And the Jews were that. They were simply residents of Judea, but the Jewish people have never been pure-blooded Judahites. That is the major difference between, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew. Continuing, quote, well, be assured that the God that the Jews worship is the very same God that we worship, but the Jews don't worship Yahweh. That's why they removed his name from the Bible. Their sacred writings, the law and the prophets, we revere and read aloud in our writings, in our meetings, rather. And because we worship this God of the Jews, no, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, you will see him describe himself as the God of Israel over and over and over, he will never call himself in scripture the God of the Jews. That is the false impression that the Jews have pulled the wool over our eyes with. The one thing we cannot be accused of is novelty, unquote. Glimpses, issue 139, Why Early Christians Were So Despised. Ken Curtis, PhD. Well, they were despised because the Roman Empire was still very pagan. And the Jews hated the Christians too, because the Jews have never believed in the Messiah. So the Christians were getting it from both sides, from the pagans and from the Jews. Ken Curtis, PhD, Beth Jacobson, Diana Severance, PhD, Ann T. Snyder, and Dan Graves, copyright 2003 by Christian History Institute. Okay, well, this is getting to the root of the problem. You know, obviously, the pagans didn't want to worship a Jewish God, but they don't want to worship a Christian God either. And this was the Octavius of Manicius Felix, 2nd century A.D. 2. Support of Trinitarian doctrine. When Rome voted to adopt the Trinity doctrine of the numerous pagans in her empire, the name of God, Yahweh, translated Jehovah in English, interfered and hindered the newly adopted teaching that Jesus was the Almighty God, Jehovah. Rome paid her translators to remove God's name almost 7,000 times. Yeah, okay. Oh, say Rome paid it. Okay, now this is interesting, folks. Okay, I've got to bring Michael back in. And I'm trying. All right. Here we go. Add to stage. Okay, all right, Michael, are you back?
I'm back. Sorry, my internet went down.
Really? Okay. Yeah, yeah. We're getting a lot of kind of interference lately. My Internet Explorer doesn't work at all. Okay, so this is really crazy. And I couldn't remove it, uninstall it to reinstall it. So I don't know what to do. I actually installed Firefox, but Firefox has limitations. But let's continue, because this is really good. This is really good stuff, because it's giving us, me, a perspective from the early days of Christianity that not only the Jews were responsible for removing the name of Yahweh, pagans were responsible, and misguided Christians who think the Jews are the people of God, right? So you have, we're getting the removal of the sacred names from multiple avenues, which is really crazy. But this information here is actually new to me. I didn't realize that the pagans hated Yahweh, right? Why? Because they believed in some kind of trinity. And I think that goes back to Semiramis, Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. That's where that came from. Okay. And the Catholics simply picked that up. Okay. So anyway, number 2, support of Trinitarian doctrine when Rome voted to adopt the Trinity doctrine of the numerous pagans in her empire. Yes, the Catholic Church never gave up paganism, folks. Don't let any Catholic tell you that the Catholic Church is actually Christian. It is not. It is Babylonian. The name of God, Yahweh, translated Jehovah in English, interfered and hindered the newly adopted teaching that Jesus was the Almighty God. And there was a huge dispute among Christians, early Christians, even in the assemblies, you know, the Nice Council of Nicaea, and I forget which other, there were many assemblies, where they disputed whether Jesus was God in the flesh, identical to God or not, okay? And the conclusion that they came to was that they're one in essence, but they are separate persons, which is acceptable to me. I mean, there is because Jesus says in John several times, the Father is greater than I. But he also says the Father and I are one. But the word one in John there is eis, which means unified. It means unified. It does mean we're one and the same person. So you have to pay attention to, again, I think the first point made by the first commentator was, what do these words mean? We have to know what these words mean to understand the Bible. So why do people keep changing the meanings of the words? Why? Because they don't want us to understand the Bible.
Yeah. Right? And this is also something I know when I'm discussing with some people, one I can discuss some deeper stuff with. And he he really all the time when I say the word's meaning, he don't seem to care the word's meaning. So it's they don't want to care about it. So
wow. Yeah, well that pretty much describes your average Christian, right?
Yeah, because the words have changed. When I took the example racist, it was something positive before, now it's very bad. They have changed the meaning of the word.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But Yahweh was a racist. He put the Israelites above all other people on the face of the earth, so he was a racist.
Yeah, then we should follow him.
That's right. And the Jews aren't Israel, so we shouldn't follow Jews, okay? Who are anti-racist, by the way, or at least they proclaim to be. Okay.
Yeah, but they are pretty big racist, them too.
Oh, yeah, in their own right, absolutely. I mean, just ask a Palestinian, okay?
Yeah.
So this is really good stuff. I'm liking this article, Michael, because it's revealing stuff about manipulation of the Bible in the very, very early days of Christianity. Okay.
So, yeah, it does.
Yes. And we're approaching a break time. So I'll just continue reading and we'll pick it up. I'll let you pick it up on part three, money. You mean money? Money influences church translations?
I get the best one.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you have that. That one's going to be fun. Okay. So next paragraph here, and I'll just finish this and then we'll take our break. In the first two centuries, nearly all the various readings of the New Testament came into existing, the majority of them by deliberate alteration of the text in the interest of the Trinity dogma, unquote, from the Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, the Bible in the Church. Okay, well, as I said, the Catholic Church has influenced the translations, and that dominated Bible scholarship for nearly 1,500 years until the coming of Martin Luther, as to the point that the Dark Ages were created by the Catholic Church, where nobody could read or write. Do you think that was intentional by the Catholic Church, Michael?
Yeah, the Catholic Church is only evil.
Yeah,
but something with the Catholic Church. Not something I don't make up yet. Why did Catholic Church help the Germans after World War II?
Oh, well, they changed a little bit. They changed just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hitler was a Catholic.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know if you. Yeah. Okay. But the Catholic Church in those days hated the Jews for their hypocrisy and apostasy. So, the Catholic Church actually got a little better in its latter days after Napoleon removed their military might. Okay. So, and plus they realized that Protestantism was taking over and they better get with it. Okay. So the Catholic Church did change a little bit after Napoleon deprived them of their military power. Okay. So let's see. Now, Codex B, that is Vaticanus, was altered by a later hand in more than 2,000 places. Eusebius, therefore, is not without grounds for accusing the adherents of the newly risen doctrine of the Trinity of falsifying the Bible, unquote. Fraternal Visitor, 1924, page 148, translated by Christadelphian Monachepta. Christadelphian Monachepta. Quote, the removal of the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh is the proper translation, from the New Testament and its replacement with the surrogates Kyrios and Theos blurred the original distinction between the Lord God and the Lord Christ, and in many passages made it impossible which one was meant. Yeah, that is true. Is it referring to the Lord Yahweh or the Lord Yahshua? Thus, it may be that the removal of the Tetragrammaton, Jehovah, contributed significantly to the latter, or the later, Trinity, unquote, George Howard, Bible scholar, the name of God in the New Testament, and BAR, whatever that refers to, some kind of probably biblical archaeological review, BAR, 4.1, March 1978, page 15. And one more item before we go into the money question, which ought to be really good, folks. Looking forward to that. Quote, it was they who demanded, in effect, who's they?
The Must Catholics. Be Jews.
or maybe Jews, let's see. It was they who demanded, in effect, that Christianity be updated by blurring or even obliterating the long-accepted distinction between the Father and the Son. When Jesus became God, by Richard E. Rubenstein, page 74. So I guess he's talking about the early church fathers, which were essentially subsumed by the Catholic Church, even though the first pope, I think the first pope who used the name, the title pope, was Innocent III, and that didn't occur until 607 AD. So, you know, the Christian church was in flux and trying to decide, you know, what does the Bible mean? What do these words mean? Et cetera, et cetera. So there was a major discussion going on. I'm trying to, the Armenians, I think, was one of them who, and then there were some people who said that Jesus wasn't divine at all. Okay. So the early church was actually in great chaos at this point in time, at least theologically. The persecution by the Romans, was bad, really bad, and that pretty much had ended. But, now the Christians themselves are all confused about what these words mean. So, all right. So your comment here before we take a break, Mike.
No, but as I said, it's interesting when someone is not so into it, raises some very logical questions in the matter. You make it very impersonal when you have the word the in front of it. So you have some, he raises some good points. And also, as you said, those early Catholic or church history that I wasn't aware of them either.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting that the Christian churches themselves wanted to suppress the sacred names, and the pagan Romans wanted to suppress sacred. We can understand that, right? So I didn't realize that the pagan Romans were actively involved in suppressing the sacred names too, right? I thought they were out of the picture, but they weren't, okay? So, all right, folks, so let's take a break, and let's do a song here called It's So Dark, because we are living in very dark times, folks. So this will take us only about 3 or 4 minutes, so please stick with us, and we'll continue about the money question in a few minutes. Okay, the wheel is turning, but is it? There we go.
Sovereign with a broken wing, wandering on the beach. This reminds us of our childhood dreams, impossible to reach. The vacant stairs are everywhere, there's danger in the air. Of gold in America, on the roads that lead nowhere. It's so dark. It's so dark. It's so dark. So very dark. It's so dark. It's getting very dark. So dark, so very dark.
Okay, I just realized that that last line, what has happened to the Son, could be taken two ways. What has happened to the Son of God? People don't worship the Son of God. They worship some guy named Jesus. Who should, of course, they, when they use the name Jesus, they mean the same person we mean by Yahshua. But most people don't realize that the name Jesus does not have a meaning because it's a transliteration, which means it's just taking the letters from the Greek, Jesus, and actually the from the Aramaic to the Greek was also a transliteration. Sorry, folks, that was a transliteration. Simply taking the letters from either the Hebrew or Aramaic, taking those letters for pronunciational purposes, and creating the word Jesus, and also Jesu. A very common translation is Jesu, and of course the modern English Jesus. Those are transliterations, not translations. So a proper translation would be Yah saves. Yahweh saves. Or Jehovah saves for those who use the name Jehovah. So that's the situation we're in. All right. So, okay, we're back and let's get back to the document. Oh, by the way, I'm using Google as my main, website driver here, and the sound quality is much better than it's ever been. So usually when we go to StreamYard, it defaults to Internet Explorer, and we've had all kinds of audio problems using Internet Explorer. So maybe this is a happy accident that we're now being forced to use a different browser besides Internet Explorer. Okay, Michael, let's get back to it. Yeah, let's talk about money.
Yeah, thank you. So,
wait a minute.
No, I'm here. I have my microphone on my head. So,
okay. All right.
Three, money. Because the God of Christ, the Jewish God, Jehovah. No, not Jewish. Maybe Jehovah is the Jewish one, but.
Yeah, right. All right. Yeah.
Was not popular with the word of mankind. They sought to remove him from their Bible. Bible translators knew that for their Bibles to be purchased, they would need to appeal to their readers.
Okay, now this is very interesting because, first of all, Yahweh is not a Jew, okay? And the Jews are not his people. But so this false belief that the God of the Bible is the God of the Jews precipitated this anti-Yahweh movement. And so now the churches have to accommodate, but the churches are partially to blame for not understanding who the Jews really are, right? So in other words, now to placate their few sitters, they have to accommodate them by not using the sacred name. Very interesting. Okay, back to you.
They also knew that if they used God's divine name, Jehovah, then people would not purchase their version, and thus they would lose money. Oh, it all started with the love money.
Yeah. Money makes the world go round, right?
Jewish way.
And slavery provides the labor.
Yeah. God's name, Yahweh. Jehovah. Jehovah. Appears in original Hebrew text about 7,000 times, but the NIV fails to mention it even once. When asked about this, Edwin H. Palmer, Ph.D., Executive Secretary for the NIV Committee, wrote, "Here is why we did not You are right that Jehovah is a distinctive name for God, and ideally we should have used it. But we put $2.25 million into this translation, and a sure way of throwing that down the drain is to translate, for example, Psalm 33 as Yahweh. Jehovah is my shepherd. Immediately, we would have translated for nothing.
Okay.
Nobody would have used it or purchased it. Oh, maybe you and a handful of others.
Okay.
But a Christian.
Okay, so let me interrupt. It seems like what he's saying is that if we had put the name Jehovah or Yahweh into the Bibles, the average Christian would not purchase it because they're not familiar with it. And they think it's Jewish. All right. Now do you see how much confusion the Jews have caused in the world by their you know, constant messing with the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But a Christian has to be also wise and practical. We are the victims of 350 years of the King James translation.
Oh, I like that. Tradition. Oh, I like that. Let me repeat that. That is a great statement. But we are the victims of 350 years of the King James tradition. Yeah. And it was in the King James tradition that the Masoretes influenced the King James Translation Committee to change from Yahweh to the Lord. Okay. Sometimes the God. Or God. Okay, back to you.
It is far better to get 2 million to read it. That is how many have bought it to date. And to follow the King James. Then to have 2,000 buy it and have the correct translation of Yahweh, Jehovah.
Okay, now wait a minute. Wait. I'm not sure what he's trying to say here. It is far better to get 2 million to read it. Okay, so I think he's saying that if it contained the name of Yahweh or Jehovah, that people wouldn't read it. I'm not sure that's correct, you know, because the average Christian pretty much goes with the flow, right? And if that's what it has in their Bible, Christians are very malleable, if not passive, right? That is how many. So this new edition he's talking about that would have had either Yahweh or Jehovah, but retains Lord instead. I think that's what he's trying to say. So that is how many have bought it to date. And so in other words, he's saying we would have made the change from the Lord to Yahweh for nothing because he's saying no one would have purchased it. I'm not sure that's true, but it reveals his economic motive. All right, back to you.
Yeah. That's correct translation. Okay. It was a hard decision, and many of our translators agree with you. The reasons NIV removed Jehovah's name, Edwin H. Palmer, THD, Executive Secretary for the NIV Committee. The situation today, where many translations exist largely because of the amount of money to be gained. The preservation of the Bible by faithful churches by Charles V. Turner.
Okay, well, this section 3 was excellent because it reveals the economic incentive of Bible translation, right? The translation committees take these kind of things into consideration before making a big translation, a new translation, okay? So I can see, well, of course, now the other thing here, Michael, is also that most of these denominations are 501c3 corporations, right? So they expect to make money from publishing, and they expect to have people donating money to their denomination, which if they're not a 501c3 corporation, they don't earn as much money from donations, okay? So you can see how modern Christianity is money-driven.
Yeah. Same here, too. Yeah, it's money-driven. Yeah, yeah. So it's no truth coming out of them.
No, no. And they're not. And once a tradition has started, it's really hard to change it, right? Really hard.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I'll take number four. Man-made tradition. It was a tradition of the Jews to avoid using God's name altogether. They stopped all mention of him, no longer using God's divine name. They no longer used it in their prayers, even making it a sin to say his name out loud. But that's not what the Bible says. Let me continue. They considered it, quote unquote, blasphemy to utter the name of God, Yahweh. Many translators admit to following this Jewish tradition and have thus removed Jehovah's name and replaced it with titles such as Lord and God, all in caps, to show that they have removed God's name in those places. Jesus condemned the man-made tradition of the Jews. Thank you very much. Following their lead in this would be directly against Jesus' teachings on this issue. Oh, that was a wonderful statement. Yeah, there is truth by some Christians these days. Quote, Yahweh/Jehovah is the proper personal name of the God of Israel. The term Adonai, my Lord, was later used as a substitute. The word L-O-R-D, all in caps, in the present version represents the traditional usage, unquote. This is from the New American Bible Catholic Introduction to the Old Testament, page 11.
That was good.
Okay. Yes, that comment was excellent. Quote, in this translation, we have followed the Orthodox Jewish tradition and substituted the Lord for the name Yahweh. From the preface of the 1935 Bible, J.M. Powis Smith and Edgar J. Goodspeed. So we're getting all kinds of evidence here, Michael, that is the Jews themselves who removed the name of Yahweh from the Bible. Are we surprised?
No, they want to take away the power we have when we use
that name. Power of prayer. Yeah. I can tell you, I always use the name of Yahweh and Yahshua in my prayers because I consider those to be more personal rather than the Lord. Or dear Lord, or even dear God, right? But I'm sure that many Christians who are faithful and are appealing, they're actually appealing to the same God, but by a title rather than the actual name, okay? So I'm sure Yahweh hears their prayers, you know, because a lot of Christians pray to God and their prayers are answered. I can say, however, having been a faithful user of the sacred names now for well over 25 years, that my prayers tend to get answered. You know, when all the various illnesses that our listeners have had to endure from me, I've always been healed of every single one when going into prayer in Yahweh. And I've had several miracles happen in my life when I pray to Yahweh. Okay. So no one can say that the name of Yahweh and Yahshua doesn't work. What I'm not saying is that if you don't use those names, that you won't have miracles in your life. You sure will, because you know, whether you use the names or not, you are praying to the same God if you're a Christian. But if you're a Jew, you're denying his existence even. Okay? That's the reality, folks. A huge difference between Judaism and Christianity. Okay, one more statement here in this section. Quote, Jesus replied, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Thus do you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, unquote, Matthew 15:3-6 from the NIV Bible Gateway. And, you know, the Pharisees considered it a crime, a punishable offense, to use the name of Yahweh in public. Okay. Most people don't realize that. All right. Section 5. Please continue, Michael.
Yeah, that's interesting. As I say, they nullify the word of God by taking it away. So,
right. Jesus himself accused them of this. Yet they believe the Pharisees, who are today's Jews, are God's chosen. All right. Okay.
They're chosen by Lucifer, period.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
5. Superstition. During the time when Israel was in slavery to Babylon, she absorbed and adopted many Babylonian customs and ideas. One of these was the superstition against using the name of God, for fear that bad things would happen to them, as the Babylonian called their chief god, Marduk, by the title Lord, so as not to offend him. So too, the Jews adopted this idea in reference to Jehovah God. When the Israelites came out of Babylon captivity, they brought along with them the Babylonian culture, and along with it, Babylonian beliefs and superstition. One of these pagan Babylonian practices or beliefs was called ineffability. This was a superstition against using the name or deity for fear of something bad happening to them. The idea was that if you said the name of deity, he or she would notice you. The pagan practice of ineffability was further reinforced by Greek Hellenization.
So in other words, but I remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves from Yahweh. Like he doesn't know where you're at all times.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So that is imposing a limitation on our God, on our Yahweh, okay? Imposing a limitation, like, they thought they could hide from him. But, of course, this is a deistic idea of the Hellenes, the Greeks, all right, that you cannot actually hide from a deity if you're not worshiping at the time, something like that. I don't know. But there's no way you can hide from Yahweh. All right, back to you.
Yeah, that is very, this is very, yeah. As you see, I think about when I'm, as you say, they are practicing as if I must make the comparison with modern Swedish. They don't want to stick out. They also want to be part of the herd.
Right.
Like this. They don't want to be the nail that sticks out, because then they think they will get the punishment.
Right. Even Santa Claus knows if you've been naughty or nice. Right?
Well, <it's> Satan.
Yeah, there you go. The acrostic for Satan. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The avoidance of the real name of God, Yahweh, Yehovah, both in speech and, to a certain extent, in the Bible, first arose in Babylonia, according to Dalman, first chapter, page 66, at Sec. The Jewish Encyclopedia, Tetragrammaton, by Crawford Howell Toy and Ludwig Blau.
Okay, again, we're talking, it's a Jewish tradition. Okay.
Yeah. The idea that only the priest could utter the name of the Heavenly Father, and that he was disguised or hide it from the common people, came from the idea that the name was ineffable or unutterable. However, this was a pagan doctrine that they adopted from the Egyptians, Babylonians, and Greeks. The Final Reformation, Koster, page 54, page 112. Yeah, that's a Jewish tradition. That's where it came from.
Yeah, it's definitely Jewish. But I think the point here is that the ineffability or unutterability is a concept used by the priests to give themselves power over the people. Only we priests can utter the holy names. You can't. You're beneath our dignity, right? And that's the exact attitude that the Pharisees had. And Michael, that is the attitude that most priesthoods have in the world today. And I don't care what religion you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
They think they are special. They think they are.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Marduk was therefore a very important god of Babylon in the first millennium BC. His name was considerable as so holy that it was almost never pronounced. Instead, people said and wrote Baal, Lord.
Okay. Very interesting.
Herodotus correctly calls the supreme god of Babylon Baal, Lord, because his real name was not pronounced. Herodotus, okay. Histories 1, 181-2. till Albury, the selling court.
Yeah. But on the contrary, the Bible tells us over and over, publish the name. Publish the name. Pray to Yahweh and Yahshua in using their real names, not the the titles. Okay. And it's very interesting. In baptism, Jesus said, when you baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. But they baptize in the name of the titles, not the names. They don't use the name because they've forgotten the names. Okay? Crazy stuff here, folks. Crazy. All right. Please continue.
The ineffability of divine names was an old idea in Egypt. The name of Osiris himself was said to be ineffable. The name Marduk of Babylon was also declared ineffable. The Greeks avoided the names of their deities and preferred to call them by the titles Kyrios and Theos. The Final Reformation by Dr. Koster, page 54 and 112.
Okay, so we could say that Greek influence on the original New Testament replaced the names Yahweh and Yahshua with the Dios and Theos. Okay? Because those are simply titles. Both of them simply mean divinity. Okay? All right, back to you.
So if you, it's a question, if you then, those Christians that praise for the wallet, then if they say the Lord, could that then be meaning Baal or Satan?
Right. Satan with a dollar sign instead of an S, right? It could. I mean, it doesn't, not for the average Christian. You know, they certainly don't worship Satan. But they do in a sense when they, follow Jewish tradition. Okay. And they believe the Jews are God's chosen. So then they are actually worshiping the children of Satan, not the God of Israel. Okay.
Yeah. Because if you have something very unpersonal as the Lord, then they can mean if your prayers in line with that Lord, then I don't know. Maybe that's far-fetched.
Well, no, it's not. Because we talked about this a little bit earlier, that a Satanist could worm his way into your company, and he likes the word the Lord, but who is your Lord, right? And Paul says, whoever you submit yourself to, that is your Lord, okay? All right, so you don't know if that person, here's a perfect example, the Rockefellers. And Bill Clinton, they would go to some kind of Christian church and carry a Bible, very prominently carrying a Bible with them into the hall. But are they Christians? Were they Christians? They were just pretending to be Christians, and they could easily pronounce the word the Lord and have an entirely different personage in mind than you do. All right?
And maybe this is something I heard wrong, but could it be that in that Bible, Clinton had a Talmud in it? He hired.
No.
Well, that's something else. Well,
it was a tassel, or with the bookmark, I think. But it was the Catholics have something else they use as a biblical marker. I forget what it is. It's some ritualistic, it's a black ribbon of some kind that they use. They can use it as a bookmark, but it's also supposed to have, more significance than just a bookmark. I can't remember what it is. But yeah, so he was pretending to be a Catholic, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and pretense is the name of the game. Yep.
Yeah, and we have heard that. We have talked about many times that Jews can never be converted. They do it just to infiltrate.
That's right.
But at least by the 3rd century BCE, the pronunciation of the name Yahweh, Jehovah, was avoided, and Adonai, the Lord, was substituted for it. Encyclopedia Judaica, page 679.
Now this is the Encyclopedia Judaica, so you have to take everything therein with a grain of salt, okay? But it's probably correct to say that because it was 3rd century BC, that's when Judah, the land of Judah, was controlled and run by the Greeks. And then the Romans so that the Judahites were probably changing their traditions to suit their lords and masters who were over them, you know, after the Maccabees were finally overthrown. And they weren't overthrown by military force, because the Maccabees, who were Judahites, 100% pure Judahites, drove the Greeks out. And they would have driven the Romans out too, but for the fact that too many of the priests were corrupt and sided with the enemy. So he had this constant infighting between good Judahites and bad Judahites, leading to the demise of Judah in Roman times. Okay? So you have to see it that way. All right, back to you.
Can that bad part be part of those Judahites that didn't go to captivity?
Well, first of all, the ones that went into captivity to Babylon did so for their own good. Jeremiah is very clear.
Yeah.
Yahweh wants you to go to Babylon for the 70 years punishment for your own good. Okay. The ones who didn't want to go and went to Egypt were all destroyed. Okay. Or who went elsewhere. Okay. Except for Jeremiah and Zedekiah's daughters and Baruch. They were given a special commission to take Zedekiah's daughters to Ireland, which they did. Okay. Back to you.
Okay. But at least by the 3rd century BC, the pronunciation of the name, the Hebrews considered the name of God to be infallible and substituted in reading Adonai, my Lord. Columbia Encyclopedia, Volume 2, under the subject, God.
Okay, that's not true. You can't pin this on Hebrews, because this came very late in the history of Judah. The Israelites had already left, you know, because of the Assyrian captivity around 900 BC, and they ceased doing anything traditionally Hebrew or traditionally Mosaic. And they just basically apostatized, and Yahweh told them, if you keep practicing these pagan conditions, I will divorce you and scatter you around the world, which turned out to be mainly Europe. Okay. So you can't go back that far. You have to go to Judah and the infighting of the Judahites during the Greek period and the Roman period. Okay. So again, yeah, the vast majority of these encyclopedias, not being familiar with the migrations of the Israelites and the changes and the vast numbers of Israelites, both Judah, House of Judah, House of Israel, who had been paganized, and you don't take that into consideration, that then you'll make a statement like the Hebrews. No, it wasn't the Hebrews. They didn't rebel like the Israelites did. Okay, so number 6 here. Jehovah is not the Hebrew way to say God's name. I just quoted from another website that said it was a Jewish confabulation. So let's see what they have to say here. Some Bible translators say that they have removed God's name from the Bible because Jehovah is not the proper way to say God's name in Hebrew. This reasoning is merely an excuse and not a reason at all, says the author. For if this reason is valid, then we would also have to remove Jesus' name from the Bible, since the name Jesus is not the way that was written or spoken in Hebrew either. Yeah, it was pronounced Yeshua, meaning Yah saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Many Hebrew names are written in the Bible, which are not as they were in Hebrew, and yet we do not remove them. Therefore, this reasoning is truly invalid. Examples of Jewish names that should be Hebrew names in the Bible, which are translated into English much differently than their original Hebrew counterparts, are Jesus, Jeremiah, Jonah, Joel, Jerusalem, Joshua, etc. Well, they were all pronounced, Jesus was originally pronounced Jesus. It should be Jeremiah, Jonah, Joel, Jerusalem, Yahshua, okay? It's pronounced the same way in the Old Testament as in the New Testament, Yahshua. Quote, the committee is omitting the name of God because the word Jehovah does not accurately represent any form of the name ever used in Hebrew, unquote. Preface to of the Revised Standard Version, that is correct. Jehovah is not the proper translation. It is Yahweh. Thus, the Hebrew Yerushalayim became Jerusalem. Yeriho became Jericho. Yarden became Jordan. Hebrew personal names such as Yonah became Jonah. Yeshai became Jesse. And Yeshua became Jesus. Likewise, Yahweh, and Jehovah became Jehovah in English. Basically true, all the points made. Back to you.
Section 7. Mm-hmm. 7. God doesn't need a name.
Well, of course he does. He says, this is my name. I want you to use my name. But let's see what they have to say.
God does not need to be distinguished from other gods.
Oh, really?
Really? He is special, so of course he wants to be distinguished.
Mm-hmm. That's better be special. Right, okay.
Some translators have made this statement. Who are we to say that God doesn't need a name? God deemed it necessary to name all the stars in the heaven and to place his name upon people that he liked and upon places that were important to him. His own word, the Bible, emphasizes the importance of a name. The translators of the Bible did not remove Satan's name from the Bible, did they remove the names of numerous false gods from the Bible.
Okay, just an interjection here, because a lot of people have said, well, Satan, there is no real Satan because the word Satan means adversary. Yes, that's true. It means adversary. But there are instances where the direct article or the definite article, the, whether in Hebrew or in Greek, is present before the word adversary, thereby meaning a specific adversary. So it is proper to capitalize the word Satan in instances such as that. Okay, back to you.
The use of any proper name for the one and only God is entirely inappropriate for the universal faith of the Christian Church.
Mm.
Not universal faith, so...
Yeah, it's not a universal faith, is it?
No, it's exclusive.
That's right.
The preface of the Revised Standard Version on the reasons, excuses for the removal of God's personal name, Jehovah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Psalms 147, verses 4, NIV Bible Gateway. Lift up your eyes on high and see who hath created these. They brighten out their host by number. He calleth them all by name. The everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth. Isaiah 40, verses 26 and 28, ASV, Bible Gateway. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be estimated is better than silver or gold. Esteemed is better than silver and gold. Proverbs 22, verses 1, NIV, Bible Gateway. A good name is better than oil of much worth. Ecclesiastes 7, 1, NLV. The sacred name Jehovah was revealed to man by Jehovah himself and is not a given name. See 2 Apostle 10, 13, Trifle 126, 127. Justin Martyr, First Apology, Chapter 6. For no one can utter the name of the infallible God. And if anyone dare to say that there is a name, he raves with a hopeless madness. Justin Martyr, Second Apology, Chapter 7 and Chapter 13.
Wow, okay.
The unbegotten, the unbegotten infallible God. In the Bible, refusing to mention the name of God means refusing to worship this God. And that is Exodus 23, verse 13. And that is why Satan incited the Israelites by means of the proper of Baal, not to use name of Jehovah.
Right.
Jeremiah 23, verses 27. Yahweh, Jehovah, is the name of that indicates the God of the Hebrews. Where the Philistines worshipped Dagon, the Egyptians Amon, and the Ammonites Milcom. The Hebrew worshipped Yahweh, Jehovah. The title God, Elohim, is also applied to false deities in the scripture, as well as Yahweh, Jehovah. Hence, is not a term by which one can be distinguished from the other. When the voice said, I am Yahweh, there was no doubt in any listener's mind as to the identity of the speaker. He was the God of the Hebrews. So far as is known, no other people called their God by this name.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. That is absolutely correct. Only the Israelites referred to God as Yahweh. No other tribe did. No other people did.
Review and Herald, December 16, 1971. In the scriptures, there is closest possible relationship between a person and his name, the two being practical equivalent, so that to remove the name is to extinguish the person. Yeah. Numbers 27, verses 4. Deuteronomy 7, verses 24.
You know, I think there's actually a pagan tradition of that kind, too, that if you don't use the person's correct name, you're somehow cursing that person. I think that's true in Africa, America, and other cultures, okay? It's just like an insult if you don't use the person's correct name. All right, back to you.
To forget God's name is to depart from him.
Mm.
Sundervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary, page 571, 1964.
Very good.
Jewish Bibles favors the name Jehovah. New superstition Jewish translator always favor the name Jehovah in their translation of the Bible. Then we know it's false in the Jewish translations.
Right. Yeah.
On the other hand, one can know that there is no Jewish translation of the Bible with Yahweh.
Oh, are we surprised?
No.
Okay. All right. But it is in the Hebrew. And they have their own Masoretic text, which is Hebrew, but they will not translate it Yahweh. They will translate it with Jehovah and probably do all the other tricks like using Lord and Baal where they want to. All right. So here are some, I guess these are all Jewish translations. Back to you.
Yeah. So first is the name of version, Jewish, tongue,
okay.
Published, and divine name.
Rendered. Okay.
Immanuel Tremellinus, Latin, 1579, Jehovah. Baruch Spinoza, Latin, 1670, Jehovah. Samuel Cahen, French, 1836, Iowa. Alexander Harkey, English, 1936, Jehovah. Joseph McGill, see below, English, 1910, Jehovah. Rabbi L. Goldschmidt, see below, German, 1921, Jehovah. Yeah, there's always Jewish, so you know, those translations there are false. If Jews use them, then...
Yeah. The Jews refuse to name the name Yahweh, period. They won't use it.
Yeah.
They will use it in public discussion, not necessarily mockingly, but they don't use it with reverence, that's for sure. Okay. All right.
And early, let's see. Non-superstitious Jewish translators always favor the name Jehovah in their translation of the Bible. On the other hand, one can note that there is no Jewish translation of the Bible of Yahweh. M. Gerard Gertux, a Hebrew scholar, a specialist of the Tetragrammaton, president of the Association's Biblical de Recherche des Anciens Manuscripts. I cannot pronounce all the French.
Yeah. Recherche is French for rare. Rare ancient manuscripts, okay? So this person obviously says a Hebrew scholar, but I don't think he's Jewish. All right, please continue. The early Christians Yeah.
Used the name Jehovah. As a follower of Christ, Peter used God's name Jehovah. When Peter's speech was put on record, the tetragrammaton Yahweh, Jehovah, was here used according to the practice during the first century BC and the first century CE. Paul Kale, Studia Emanuelica, edited by Kurt Arland, FL, Cross Jean Danilou, Harald Reisenfeld, and V.C. van Unick, Berlin, 1959. Page 614. The early Christian scholar, therefore,
because that's false. Peter did not use the name Jehovah because, as we already found out, that's a Middle Age mistranslation by the Jews themselves, the Masoretic Jews, by inserting the vowels of Adonai, which are A-O-I, Adonai, and putting those in between the consonants of Yahweh, so you get Jehovah. Okay, that was not done in the time of Peter or Jesus or any of the apostles. So that came much later. So this comment is false. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. All right, back to you.
The early Christian scholars, therefore, easily learned the true pronunciation. The 15th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, volume 12, page 995, under the heading Jehovah. Do you want to take over?
Yeah, okay. It should be Yahweh, not Jehovah. That's the problem with the section here. Okay. And yet the name of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, was removed almost 7,000 times. I think, yes, it gives the exact number here. The American Standard Version has Jehovah in it about 6,823 times, just like the original Hebrew. But no, it didn't have Jehovah. It had Yahweh. But the NASB removed it every time. This makes for some awkward situations like Psalms 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, it should be Yahweh said to Adonai, is how that should have been translated. Jason Badoon, Northern Arizona University Department of Humanities, Arts, and Religion. Again, when you make wholesale changes like this, you're going to affect the translation, and some of these translations would be nonsensical. Okay? Jesus' name appears only 500 times, sometimes in the Bible, whereas Jehovah's name appears almost 7,000 times. Okay, well, the ones who use the term Jehovah instead of Yahweh. Obviously, Yahweh is proud of his name, right? So how does he feel about mankind removing his name from the Bible? How does Yahweh feel? Quote, remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Yahweh, and that a foolish people hath blasphemed thy name. Isaiah 74:18, ASV. Quote, and now this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says Yahweh Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Malachi 2:1. Are we there yet, Michael? Are our blessings being cursed? Quote, How long, O God, will you allow our enemies to mock you? Will you let them dishonor your name forever? Psalm 74:10, NLT, quote, and all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it, unquote. Isaiah 52:5-6. Oh, not Baal? Not the Lord Baal?
No, I hope not.
Yahweh? Okay. Behold, I will cause them to know. This once will I cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh. Jeremiah 16:21, the ASV. Quote, and I will sanctify my great name, which hath been profaned among the nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, speaking to the Israelites, and the nations shall know that I am Yahweh. Ezekiel 36:23. Again, the ASV. quote, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered." Joel 2:32. This is why the Jews don't want us to use the name of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Quote, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Quote, "In the last days, everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved." Acts 2:16, 17, and 32, NIV. We now are here in the next section, admonished to follow Christ's example. So rather than follow the Jewish traditions that Jesus condemned, we should follow, I mean, at least this website is Jew savvy. We should follow Christ's example in making his Father's name known. Well, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And if you don't know what his name is, then who are you praying to? Right? Of course, I don't want to belittle any Christian who doesn't know his name. It's not their fault that they don't know his name, but they should make some effort to understand that Yahweh is, in fact, his name. Okay. So rather, I read that already. I'll quote. Oh, that's where it quotes the prayer. "Oh, our Father in the heavens, let your name be sanctified." Matthew 6:9. Jesus used his Father's name and told us to do the same, although it was forbidden to use his name publicly by the scribes and Pharisees. In prayer to his Father, Jesus said, "Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. I have manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of the world," unquote, John 17:25-26 and 6. There's a problem there. 6 doesn't come after 26. ESV. So, in other words, he was using the name of Yahweh, and of course his own name is means Yahweh saves. Okay. His name alone manifests the name of Yahweh, so that his followers, his disciples, understood who he was and where he came from. Quote, "I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised, and this greatness is unsearchable." In this sense, it is ineffable. Because we can't really know who Yahweh is, you know, unless until the second coming, where it says we will see him face to face. All right. But until that day, we will have to, you know, just understand that his name, his greatness is unsearchable. And that's Psalm 145:2-3. Quote, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahweh, art the most high God over all the earth." Psalm 83:18, King James Version, from website Bible Gateway. Okay, so this goes on a lot further than I realized. But let's see, we're just about out of time. You want to take the rest of these comments here, Michael?
Yeah. So, 3. Thank you, Alex. A million time thank you. If I could only vote you up more than once, I would. This is pure gold for us non-Trinitarians.
Well, that's very interesting, because in Chicago, the tradition is vote early and often. Right? So go ahead, Alex, or whoever this guy is, Old English. Oh, he calls himself Old English. All right, next comment.
Alex Baliu. An excellent answer. God directed that his name be included in his word some 7,000 times, obviously. He wants us to know and use his name.
So says Ozzy. Okay.
And you list anti-Semitic feelings as one of the reasons for replacing YHWH with Lord. The Septuagint shows that practice was in place before Christ was born. Moreover, Judaism continues the practice in both written translations, i.e. the GPS and NGPS, translated of the Tanakh, which uses Lord, and spoken, i.e. the Jews which grow out of hatred for the God of Israel. Is right. A bit absurd.
No, it's not. It's not absurd that the Jews hate the God, the name, God of Israel, because they're not Israel. All right, please continue.
Revelation, lad, I use it to believe what you said here, but if you examine this link, and then it's a link, ancient Septuagint copies, you will find that at least some of the Greek Septuagint copies during Christ's ministry contain YHWH, Yahweh's name, written in the ancient Hebrew font. None of the latter copies reflects this fact. So the church of some point stopped propagating his memorial name. History points to the Roman church decrease from the 3rd and 4th century. Unfortunately, for your theory, it was Judaism, not the church, who started this tremendous and continues it to this day.
This treatment. Okay, absolutely correct. It's the Jews who took the name of Yahweh out of the translations. And I do have a Jewish Tanakh, and I haven't really looked it over carefully. And I'll bet, as these authors are saying, it contains Lord and not Yahweh, or just maybe it doesn't even contain the Tetragrammaton, but Lord or Jehovah. Okay. So I'll have to open it up just to see that. Okay. So we may continue this next week, although it's pretty obvious that we in identity and our perception of what's going on here is right on the money, that the Jews refuse to use his name and don't want us to use his name either. All right, back to you.
Yeah, can you read on? Because I wanted to
yes.
Write out the article, but it's hanged. I can't
okay.
get further. So
yeah, and the audio... The audio has started scrambling for some reason, but it's not constant like it used to be on IE, Internet Explorer. So here we go. Why is Yahweh the name of God, and this is YHWH, YHWH, replaced by a title of the Lord? Why is the article the used, the first of thousands of references, Genesis 2:4? It has long been held that the inspired New Testament writers writing in Greek did not utilize the Tetragrammaton in their original writings, of which none, incidentally, survive to this day. Consequently, writings in evidence to this day are nothing short of copies. The question therefore arises as to how faithful the original writings were the copyists. Yeah, and that's a great question, because what we've found out is a lot of the early Christians thinking that the Old Testament was written by Jews were biased against it. Okay? Since the Christian Greek scriptures were, quote-unquote, an inspired addition and supplement to the sacred Hebrew scriptures, this sudden disappearance of the divine name found almost seven times in the OT from the Greek text seems inconsistent, especially since James said to the apostles and older disciples at Jerusalem about the middle of the first century AD, Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from the nations a people for his name. All right. So, and this is not about Gentiles. He uses the word Gentiles here. It was the dispersed Israelites of the 10 so-called lost tribes who forgot his name. And the Judahites stopped using his name because they were afraid to use it in the presence of the Greeks and Romans. And then later on in the presence of the Pharisees, okay? You really have to know biblical history to get this right. Continuing. Then in support, James made a quotation from Amos 9:11-12, where the divine name is used. If Christians are to be a people for God's name, why should his name, represented by the Tetragrammaton, be abolished from the Christian Greek scriptures? Excellent question. The usual explanation for this no longer holds. It was long thought that the basis for the absence of the divine name in our extant manuscripts was that the name was missing from the Greek Septuagint, which is false. The first translation of the Hebrew scriptures, which was begun in the 3rd century BC, this thought was based upon the copies of the Septuagint as found in the great manuscripts of the 4th and 5th centuries. 400 or 500 centuries removed from the original, based upon the copies of the Septuagint as found in those days. AD. Vatican Manuscript 209, Codex Sinaiticus, and Codex Alexandrinus. In these, the distinctive name of God was rendered by the Greek words we know as Kyrios and Theos. This namelessness was viewed as an aid to teaching monotheism. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. But even the Jews teach today, if you worship Yahweh or God and Jesus at the same time, you are an infidel because you worship two gods, okay? All right, this is good stuff, folks. Michael and I will discuss whether to continue this next week or go back to the Talmud. We were having lots of fun with the Talmud, but we decided to take a break on that. So thanks for listening, everybody. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you again next time. Bye-bye.